Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to us yet more about the fruit. I know we've spent several Sundays on the fruit, talking about it, studying about the seed, the good ground, the fruit, just nothing but leaves. And you know, this morning I'm thinking about the fruit and the growth of it. That, to me, is one of the most important things in our life, is that the fruit of the Spirit of God and the fruit of the life of a saved person grows and increases in our life, that we change who we are as we go. I want to explain that a little bit more here as we look into the Word of God. In Mark 4 and 26 to 28, it says here, "And he said," this is Jesus speaking, "so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." You know, this morning I think sometimes we forget or maybe don't maximize what the Lord is really wanting to do with the fruit in our life. I think sometimes we get it in our mind that when we come to the altar, it happens right there. I got it. Well, you know, there is something we get there. There's a salvation experience, a deliverance from sin. We may come back, and hopefully we do. And the Lord wants to sanctify us and fill us with His Spirit, the Spirit of God. A very life-empowering, very changing force in our life. But you know, even that, Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if a man put seed in the ground and then he slept. And then first the blade came up, and then the fruit, or then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that there is a great growth that the Lord wants to happen. From the time that the seed comes into our heart and begins to work, and we see that blade begin to appear, Jesus is the one that said this, and then the fruit begins to come on as that plant is cared for, as it's in good ground, as it's watered. Then there is a growth that begins to happen, and then the full corn in the ear. It develops, it matures. You know, this morning, oh, how the Lord longs for us to be like that. He longs for our life to bring forth fruit that when we are first saved, when we are first filled with the Spirit of God, do you know that our fruit, we don't even know what love is many times. Many times I find that they are taught whatever their parents taught them. I was. But you know, I had to learn what love was. I had to learn, and the Spirit of God wants to take us and begin to develop us until our life is full of the fruit of the Spirit of God, full of love, full of peace, full of the fruits of all those things. But you know, when we first start, we don't even comprehend what those things mean sometimes. And God has to begin to take us on a journey to teach us how to live and how to grow. And that is a work of God. It is a work of God in our soul, where He wants to begin to increase our life. He wants to increase our peace. He wants to increase in our life and our home and our relationships. The Lord wants to increase the fruits of the Spirit of God. And so we want to look at some of those things this morning and realize that there is a growth. I believe sometimes, in my mind, I'll say it for myself, maybe I thought when I was young, you know, I was supposed to be like an old Christian. As soon as I got saved and sanctified, you know, then it was time to, you know what? We have a tremendous amount of learning. We have a tremendous amount of experiences with the Lord. We have a tremendous amount of growth that He wants to give us in our life. And God, help us to never stop growing. Never stop realizing, Lord, I have so much more. You have fruit. You have growth in my life that I haven't even comprehended yet. I don't even know it's there. But You want to give that to me. And so that comes through a process of time. It can, not only time, but it's not something you can get as an experience completely. Growth is something that happens as we go. And we must not be disappointed with ourselves when we're not as far down the road as we want to be. The Lord wants to help us to go there. He wants to help us that our fruit can become fully ripened. And then it says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately He putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. You know, there's a time that the fruit is mature. You know, He wants your life and mine to come to a place where the fruit is mature, where it's full, where it's really the blessing that it's meant to be. And that comes through time. It comes through growth in our life this morning. In James 5 and 7, there's another scripture that bears out this same thought here. James 5 and 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," or the farmer, the carer of the soil, of the plants, "behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it." Do you know the Lord is looking at us like that this morning? He sees our life. He sees our needs. He sees how we need to grow in some ways. And do you know that He is like a farmer that, you know, when you plant things and you watch it grow, you're waiting for the day. It's beautiful to see the plant come through. That's not what you're really wanting. You planted it because you want it to produce fruit to perfection, fruit to maturity, fruit that's full. And so it says, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." And so this morning, the farmer invests a lot. He invests a lot in his growth, in his plant. You know, the Lord is looking at you and me like that. He invests a lot in us. He invests a lot in the Word of God to give to us. You know, I believe that by the Scriptures, we have an angel that I believe is looking after us. I think the Lord the Scripture talks of children. Their angels do always behold the face of the Father. You know, the Lord is looking at you and me, and He is looking with longing. He's looking, hoping, watching, making sure nothing happens to that plant that is outside His will. You know, He allows the wind to blow. The hail comes down. I don't stop all that from the plants. It happens, but you know what? The Lord is looking at us, and He's protecting us from anything that would destroy us. So long as we're growing, so long as we're seeking Him and loving Him, our job is to love the Lord. Our job is to put Him first in our life. Our job is to pray to God daily. Our job is to feed from His Word, whether it's preached to us or whether we open the Bible and begin to read it. You know, our job is to partake of that. Be there. Love the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Listen to the commandments of the Lord. And do you know what will happen? We can't make ourselves grow. That's impossible. We can do everything that we know of to do right. And unless God gives the increase, unless God is in our life and working with us, then it's just us. But there is works to do. There is things that we have to do. Faith without works is dead. But you know, the Lord is looking for us to yield Him our life and to begin a journey that lasts the rest of our life. It's a journey where the fruit develops until it's something that God can smile on and say, "That's good." Now, I believe the Lord begins to give us fruit right off. But you know that the Scripture bears out that there's a growth in that that brings forth. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, it's another Scripture. Second Peter 3 and 18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Do you know that we are supposed to grow in grace? I believe, and I hope that all of us believe, that from the time that we are new in the Lord, that we are going to grow in His grace. We're going to have a level of grace as we go that grows. It's stronger. It's brighter. It's more patient. It's more gentle. It's more kind. And the Lord wants us to grow in those things. If we ever stop seeking that, we're making a grave mistake. Because the Lord wants us to grow not only in the knowledge of the Lord, He wants us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. He wants us to understand His ways. He wants us to understand His thoughts. You know, these are His thoughts right here. He's wrote us a whole book of His thoughts. And He wants us to understand them. Do you know when we first get saved, we may not even have ever had a Bible before, some of us. But do you know the Lord wants us to begin to read that and understand and begin to grow in those things? We're to grow, we're to believe, we're to love, we're to obey. And the Lord then, He wants to work in us. He wants to prune our life. He wants to change us as we go along. And you know, I think if we can understand this concept, it will rebuke the devil a little bit that just wants to hinder. He wants to accuse. He wants to cast down and destroy. And the Lord isn't after that at all. He is after a growth. He is looking at the precious fruit of His people, that His seed has fallen into their hearts. And He's looking for that to come forth. And so this morning, we don't want to make place or room for the flesh. But folks, this is the way that we get away from those things. And I will study a number of scriptures before we quit, Lord willing. John 15 and 1 to 5. The Lord had a lot to say about plants and about growth. He had a lot to say about fruit. He says, "I am the true vine." This is what Jesus said. "I am the true vine." You ever seen a vine? Sure we have. I love to look at the different vines. Green beans are one of them. And on it you find fruit. You find a blessing because those green beans are hooked up to that vine. And I want to tell you something. As soon as they become detached, it's over. It's over. There's no more growth. There's no more. The way it was, that's the way it is. And it begins to deteriorate from that moment. And so in John 15 and 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Now, He's the one that's caretaking for all of this. "I'm the vine. You've got to hook up to me," Jesus says. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." Did you know that when we become detached from the vine, when we shrivel up and die, he takes it away. That's what he does. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, I believe the scripture would bear out that this has a double meaning. You know, the purging that the Spirit of God has when it comes into our life, when we are infilled, we cannot minimize that. We must have that. It's a purging of our nature that God wants to give to us. But, you know, by the same thing, he uses the analogy of pruning. And so he not only wants to purge us, he wants to prune our lives. He wants to take things out of it and work with us. And he says here, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth," what? How fruit? Much fruit. You know, this is the Lord's plan for you and me. It's his plan for us all. This is his plan for you and me to bring forth much fruit. That's the Lord's plan this morning. Are we bringing forth much fruit? Let's ask the Lord, "Lord, I want to hook up to your vine in such a way that my life brings forth much fruit. That it brings forth a lot of those fruits of your spirit. Those fruits of your will in my life. For without me, ye can do nothing." And that's what he says. Without me, ye can do nothing. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." He's simply making a statement that we cannot do this on our own. He said, without me, you cannot do anything. Do we realize that this morning? We have got to have a real connection, a real live experience with the Lord this morning. Without him, we will have no fruit. Oh, we can try to do better. We hear about that all the time in the world. But we cannot bear the fruit unless we are hooked up to the vine. That is when we begin to bear fruit. And he said that if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them. They're not hooked up. There's not going to be any more fruit. There's not going to be any more good come from it. Not in the sense that it's just like a plant. That's who we are today. So this morning, let's realize that God wants you and me to begin to grow in our experience with him. Folks, are we growing in the Lord? We never get past this. This is a place where the Lord wants us to grow. He wants our fruit to become bigger. He wants our love to become more manifest. You know, many times we have in our mind things, and it takes the Spirit of God to be able to identify those things and to have power to cast them out. And we want to talk a little bit about that in relation to that land that God promised us, if I can say land this morning. Okay. I want to look over in 2 Peter 1 and 5. I want to say this. I know we don't like to talk about any kind of failure, but sometimes we disappoint ourselves, don't we? We disappoint the Lord sometimes. It doesn't mean that we are not saved. But I want to tell you something. If we don't take care of things, that's when it can begin. And I want to enlarge on this in a minute. And 2 Peter 1 and 5, listen to what it says here. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, I want us to notice the word add. Do you know that we start out with a simple experience of salvation, and that's all we have, and we have to add to that. God adds that to us as we begin to work with Him. And it says here, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue is manliness. Virtue is strength. Virtue is something that we need to be able to fight the devil, to be able to put him on the run, to be able to do the work of God. We've got to be able, if you want to say, man up to things. We've got to be able to do that. Do you know that when we first get saved, we may not know much about that kind of thing? We might have always just been a pushover. And yet the Lord is wanting to have us to begin to exercise ourselves to add to our experience manliness. Manliness in a spiritual sense. He's not wanting women to be manly as a man, but He's wanting them to be manly in spiritual things. Man up to the battle against the devil. Man up to what the Lord wants us to accomplish in His what? Don't give in to your feelings. Do you know that we may have just always done that? And the Lord's wanting us to begin to grow in that way. To begin, hey, these feelings, Lord, I realize this isn't going to get it. And the Lord begins to talk to us. Uh-uh. You can't go run off and duck your head. You get back out there and you say, I'm sorry. And you begin to talk. You know what? The Lord has to work with us, doesn't He, this morning? Y'all pray for us this morning. I want I long for the Lord to make each one of us into an adult Christian. Someone filled with the graces of God. Each one of us to be able to handle the weapons of our warfare and use them and learn to use them. There is a growth in grace. There is a growth in the knowledge of God. There is a growth in learning the things of the Spirit of God that we've got to have. And we've got to work with this, with the Lord. And so He tells us, I didn't say this, the Word says it. He says, add something to your faith. Well, I thought there wasn't any works. I thought it was just all grace, all faith. Folks, that's a grave misunderstanding of the Word of God. We are to add to the things that God has given us by the grace of God. It is His work in us. It is His work in the soul. But we are to add to those things. Rosie, do you need to interpret for Enrique? I don't think there's anybody interpreting. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Do you know we're supposed to add these things this morning? We're supposed to add temperance to our life. Now, it goes on down here to say something very pivotal in our life. It says here in verse 9, well, verse 8 says, "But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Do you know the Scripture tells us to add these things, but then it says, if you lack these things, you're blind, and you forgot that you was purged from your sins. So the Lord is looking for you and me to add something to the things that God has given us. I think about temperance. You know that some of us, and I was one of them, there's a lot of ways that temperance affect us. For me, I was very untempered in my eating. I'll just be honest with you. I was very untempered. You know, the Lord had to begin to work with me, and He still works with me. I'm growing in those ways. Do you know this morning the Lord is wanting us to learn temperance? We don't just run out and buy everything that we see. We want a new something or other, and it's just got to have it. Do you know when we're young what we do? We just run out there and do it if we're not taught better. But you know what? We learn, don't we? We learn to temper our passions. We learn that that doesn't satisfy. We learn that those things are not what brings the satisfaction, the anointing, the blessing of God upon our life. And so we begin to learn temperance. Do you know that we have to learn these things? We have to add them to our life. It's a growth process. It's something that God wants to give us as we go along. And so sometimes maybe we're not everywhere we want to be yet. We're not all the way where we want to be. And folks, I don't want to lessen what the gospel says, but I believe that there is a growth in these things, that we have to accept that there's going to be a growth. That maybe sometimes we disappoint ourselves and we say, the Lord's going to have to help me with that. And so, the Lord help us. If we lack these things, it says, if we lack virtue and knowledge, if the devil just comes along and he can just push us over, do you know that it says if we lack those things that we're blind? It talks about brotherly kindness and charity and patience and godliness. The Lord wants to add these things in our life this morning. And so God help us as we go along to add what He has for us in our life. What a blessing it is when we add the fruits and let them grow in our life. What a blessing it is when you see somebody that you know they used to just fall apart. Something happened and they just their emotions just, and you see them begin to be mature. And you see them begin to be able to not run from with fear, but be able to face up to things. Do you know that's growth, folks? That's growth. And God help us today to grow in our experience. I hope we never feel like, well, I got it. I got this and this and this, and I've got it. Folks, we might not have it. We might be a long ways from it this morning. God help us to see the good things of God and to cherish them and to love them and to allow the Lord to cause us to grow in those things. It says here in Galatians 5 and 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. This is Galatians 5 and 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you know we don't grow out of the works of the flesh? We don't just get saved and then we stop sinning so much. Folks, I know the scripture says, and I'm glad it does, that if any man sins, that we have an advocate with God. Well, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank the Lord we have Him to go to if a man sins. But folks, we are delivered from sin. We are delivered from the works of the flesh. We don't commit adultery anymore. Not in our heart. We don't commit adultery anymore. We don't have variance and the things of the works of the flesh. That is a work that only God can do. He delivers us from those things. But I'll tell you what we do grow in. We go on to the 22nd verse, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so, the Lord gives us a list here of the fruits of having the Spirit of God in our life. In these things, we are to grow. We are not where we want to be, folks, on all of these things when we first get saved and sanctified. We have growth that needs to happen. We have growth that needs to happen. Now, the works of the flesh, there's not growth out of that. There's deliverance from it. But I say this because meekness, let's take meekness for instance. Do you know that meekness is the ability for someone to be able to talk to you? Do you know that we have to grow in that way? Do you know that we have to learn from the Lord that I have to be patient and I have to get a hold of myself? Do you know that we have to grow in those ways? Do you know in gentleness, there are people that are not gentle by nature. The day after they get saved and the day after the Lord inhabits their heart and life, they're not going to understand the scope and depth of gentleness yet. They're not even going to understand it all. But it is the Spirit of God that begins to lead us, begins to teach us, begins to train our minds and our hearts, begins to enable us more and more to be more and more gentle as we go along. And so I hope this is making sense this morning. The fruits of the Spirit. The Lord gives us, I believe, He gives us these things. But folks, there's a growth in them as well. And we don't want to underestimate them. When we underestimate the need and the value of growth, then we stop growing many times. We stop seeking the Lord. Lord, I need more of You. I need more of Your grace in my life. I need to understand Your ways more and better. All through our life, we will never stop being in that situation to where we are constantly, Lord, I'm a very needy person before You. I need Your grace. I need Your understanding. I need Your strength as I go through life. If we feel like we have it all, we will not grow. We will not be seeking that. We will only grow somewhat. Acts 1 and 8, I want to mention this because to me this is integral. This is center to what we're talking about this morning. It says, but ye shall receive power. Now Jesus was telling His disciples, His apostles, you're going to receive something that is going to empower you to be able to live godly in this present world. And He says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. This is not talking about speaking in some language nobody understands. This is speaking of power to be able to be a witness for God, to be able to live in a way that He wants us to live. And without it, we cannot. Without it is impossible. And so the Lord help us to go on, to seek the Lord, to search after Him until He fills all the needs of our heart. I will tell you, the lives of the apostles changed after the day of Pentecost. There was something that happened in their life, and the evidence of it was the power of God was upon them. They spoke, sure, in all the languages all around them. It says they did, but it wasn't something that nobody understood. Folks, the evidence of the Spirit of God is the power of God in our life to make us able to glorify Him all through our life this morning. I want to look at some other things. You never hear this preached hardly, but I'm going to preach it. I feel like that's what the Lord wants me to give. In Galatians 2 and 11, now folks, we want to present to everyone a life of victory, a life of beauty in the Lord. But I want to tell you, sometimes we have to be rebuked by the Lord or by one of His people. We find here in 2 and 11, it says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch," Paul speaking here, "I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" And so Paul blatantly, plainly rebuked Peter for this little dissimulation here. Now, I don't think Peter was trying to... I don't think Peter was sinning here. I don't think Peter lied to the people. But Peter wasn't quite being everything. He was in a fault. Do you know that Paul rebuked Peter? And I believe Peter profited from that. We find Peter going all the way to the end of his life. And as far as church history, tradition understands, Peter gave his life. The Lord said he was going to be hung. Peter requested to be hung upside down because he did not feel worthy to be hung as the Lord was and to be crucified. And so he was crucified upside down, as we receive it from history. Do you know that Peter was in a little fault here? I just want to encourage us this morning not to be in a fault, but to realize that we have needs from time to time, and all of us do. Folks, we find ourselves where the Lord is saying, rebuking us and telling us, you can't do that anymore. You've got to be different than that. And do you know what gives us the power to recognize, to admit, and to change is the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God in our life gives us the authority over the devil to be able to change when the Lord speaks to us this morning. And so we're not looking for to lower the standard of godliness. But I want to tell you, we all live in this world. If we don't understand the ways of God, the devil will just whip us on every side. We have to understand that there is a growth process. We are going to make mistakes. There are going to be things that God is going to have to work with us on. And we're not talking about going out and committing vile sins. There's not a growth out of that. There's a deliverance from that this morning. I want to just, when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, Christians through the ages, and I believe the Bible bears this out, regards that as a deliverance from sin. When they were delivered from the bondages that they were in, sin is a bondage. It tears people's lives up. It's a hard taskmaster. Sin is not. It is not fun. It is only fun, folks, for a little while. And then sin begins to put its chains around you. And don't ever forget it. It is that way. And do you know that they, after a while, became servants down there in Egypt? And they became under heavy bondage, as it happens. The more somebody is in that place of sin, the more wraps the devil puts on them, until he begins to steal from them. You know, this morning, they came out of that place with a great deliverance from the Lord. And they went into a land that was promised to them, a land flowing with milk and honey. We call that the sanctified experience. We call that a place where the Spirit of God dwells in our heart, where we give ourselves to the Lord completely. Now we're in His land. We are His to do whatever He requires of us, to do whatever He wants of us. And so we go into that place. And do you know that when they stepped across Jordan, when they put their feet in the water, what happened? The waters parted. Now, they feared that place. Their parents never went in. They died in the land. They were afraid. There's giants in that land. Do you know this morning, there is giants that we are going to have to face in our life as we go along. There's places. As soon as they got into the land of Canaan, what happened? They met up with what? Jericho. And it was a walled city. It was an impossibility. There was no way they could bring the walls down. But do you know that God told them how to fight this battle? And they won. And they won a great victory. And Jericho just fell down before them. Other places they had to fight battles. But other places they had giants that they had to face. And sometimes we don't even know those giants are there. We don't even know what all we're going to face. But as we go through life, there's going to be things that we're going to realize. This has to die. This has to die or it's going to take my spiritual life. This place of the flesh that I was just, you know, my dad was that way and my granddad was that way. You know what? I've got to overcome this thing or it's going to overcome me. Do you know that what happens when we get in the land is that God gives us the power to be able to overcome that? He teaches us how. There is a conquest of our life that God wants us to have after we enter that blessed land. After we enter the place where God has indwelled our souls in by His very Spirit. A very precious thing from the God of heaven. And so after that time, the Lord wants you and me to make a conquest and to overcome the giants in our life, to overcome the places that would overcome us if we allowed them this morning. And so we're just about out of time, but I want to bring a couple of other things. You remember Paul, maybe I'll read that in Acts 23 and 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, now here they had him before a bunch of people. Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. You know, that was demeaning, wasn't it? That was kind of a hard hit. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, you hypocrite. That's what he was saying. God's going to smite you, you hypocrite. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Paul had to backtrack right there and say, look, I'm sorry, I should not have said that. Now, I don't believe Paul spoke under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because I don't think the Spirit of God would have told him to do something that was contrary to his will, to his word. And so we find Paul here backtracking a little bit. But you know what Paul did immediately? He humbled himself. And that's what we do, folks. This morning, I just want the Lord to help each one of us to realize that there is a battle that goes on, and that we're going to have to learn to overcome. I want to read one other place in Acts 15 and 36. I'm not wanting to make place for the flesh, but rather that we don't give place to the flesh. Acts 15 and 36 to 40 says here, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. You know, that's pretty good. Paul said to Barnabas, let's go and visit all the congregations. Everywhere we've been, let's go visit them and let's encourage them. And so they decided that's a good thing. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, you know, these brothers didn't fall out over this. They didn't lose confidence in each other and quit their fellowship. We find them later working together. I believe they're working together. We find them both later. But, you know, there was a place here where, you know, it seems like they could have just prayed through on this matter and you know, got some kind of something from the Lord. But it says the contention was so sharp that Paul, he took Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark with him. Now, you know, this morning, we're not in any way trying to make allowance. But folks, these men were human, and they had to grow too. Maybe they learned some things through this. It could be that they learned something from this. I don't know all the rest of the story. We do have Paul's travel after that. But do you know that that you and I are going to have some situations too? And we've got to learn from them. Folks, we have to grow. We cannot cast one another out and be done. We have to grow. We have to learn from one another. We have to learn from the Lord. And so I believe Paul was a man. We find him as a man. And yet he was a godly and a holy man. I don't see him sinning here. I see them having a real disagreement. Do you know this morning that's going to happen between brethren sometimes? And we're going to have to learn how to go on and how to love and how to have confidence even. I guess we're about out of time. I want us to remember those walled cities, those giants, those places in our life that seem like walled cities or giants, the Lord wants them to come down. He doesn't want us to leave them in the land. There was a group called the Hivites. I believe Gibeon was a part of this. And Joshua was going in there, and they had just taken care of Jericho, and the walls fell down, and the Lord was working so mightily. And they were so encouraged, and along comes the Hivites. And they've got this moldy bread, and they've got old everything looks like they've been on the road for a long time. And they're like, hey, we want to make peace with you guys. We want to make peace. And do you know that Joshua and the elders made peace with them? And they promised them, and they vowed to them. How does it say it? Anyway, they gave their word. We will not, when we come to your land, take it. And do you know that they never consulted the Lord in all of that? You know, we can learn from all of these past experiences. They're written for our admonition. All of the things that has happened in the past. Do you know the Lord wants us, it says, that's Joshua 9 and 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they worked wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. I want to tell you something this morning. We better never be less than careful with our steps. They were being so blessed. They were just walking. The Lord was just fighting their battles. They had just went through different places, I believe Sihon, different ones that they had just, the Lord had just worked for them. And the people knew that they came out of the land of Egypt and God had worked for them there. And then they got confident and they forgot. You know what? I better seek the Lord about this thing. Do you know that they made a league, it says, with these people? And they really suffered for that, because those people should not have been in their midst. They caused them problems, because later Them and their idols and their heathen ways came back to haunt the Israelites. Do you know the Lord wants us to see the things in our lives and to destroy? He said, destroy those nations. Don't make leagues with them. Don't allow those things. Let's don't make a league with our flesh. Let's don't say, well, that's the way I am. That's the way I always was. Folks, that's what the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is about. For us to be able to bear much fruit. For us to be able to give to the world something that is so different than what they have. And God help us this morning. I love this thing. Folks, the Lord has given us so much. I realize I realize the peace, the enjoyment that we have from the good things of God, the blessings the Lord has given to our families and so many things. And I realize there's a world out there that don't have those things this morning. God help us to cherish them, to bear fruit, to bear the fruits of love to one another, to learn from our mistakes and to grow, to never say, well, yeah, but hey, let's grow, folks, let's grow, to bear the things that God wants us to bear to the world all through our life, for it to become deeper, for it to become richer, for it to become something that we, that the world, when they see, I want that. Oh, how I would love to have that. That's what the grace, that's what the fruits is for. It's partly for that the Lord can use those things. You pray for us too.